all truth must be balanced. In fact, we learn from the scriptures that we are to compare a spiritual thing with another spiritual thing in order to know the whole truth. Truth must be balanced. A person can take any one truth, and if they exaggerate it out of relationship with other truth, it will become error. And so it is with husband-wife relationships. The Bible, in order to give us balance, gives us 7 Bible instructions for wives and 7 Bible instructions for husbands. Look, you can see this on the diagram. Look at it with me. And so for each instruction that God gives to a wife, he gives a corresponding instruction to the husband. And so there, for number 2, there's a second one for the husband. And these 2 sets of instructions provide on an operative basis a complete and successful marriage. It brings the balance. And success comes from following these 7 instructions for the wives and 7 instructions for the husbands. And what we want to learn is what are the 7 specific instructions for wives, what are the 7 specific Bible instructions for husbands, and then watch this, because there's another set of 7 instructions that look more like this, and they are for both of them. And so, 7 specific for the wives, 7 specific for the husband, and then 7 for both of them together. It is in understanding these different instructions from the Bible that we get balance. Instruction number 1. Are you ready? Before I tell you what it is, let me mention this, that there are 3 major Bible passages in the New Testament that address wives and husbands. And in each of these 3 passages, in Ephesians chapter 5, in Colossians, and again in 1 Peter chapter 3, all 3 passages, God always instructs the wife before he instructs the husband. There's a reason why he does that. And before we're finished, you'll understand that too. So what we're going to do today, however, is to go to the first instruction, and I know that you are going to be shocked at the first instruction that God gives to wives and the parallel one for husbands. And so are you ready? I hope you got your notes ready, because here it is. The first instruction that God gives to wives is this: learn to suffer. Nobody told you that before you were married them, did they? Now, watch this, because the balancing instruction for husbands is, in all other 6 instructions, different from the instruction for the wife. But in this first one, the husbands also, look at here, are also, number 1 instruction for them is the same as the instruction for a wife. They are both to learn to suffer. Marriage brings suffering. There is no successful marriage without suffering. So you wives should feel better now already. At least you both have to suffer. Now, before you react to so much that you don't hear the rest of what I want to say and what the scriptures want to teach us about this, I want you to understand this. Suffering for doing right is a lot less than the suffering that comes from doing wrong. The suffering from doing right leads to constructive results. Furthermore, the benefits of marriage far outweigh the suffering. Suffering, however, as we shall see, increases the benefits. And so what we must learn here is, how are we going to learn to suffer? But before we do that, let's look at this subject of suffering. And before you walk away, don't listen any farther, understand this first statement in the book of Corinthians. It's called the love chapter of the Bible, chapter number 13. Here's the first thing it says about love. Are you ready? Look at it. Love suffers long and is kind. Now watch this. Love suffers long. Now, I want you to notice the punctuation. We got a comma here and a semicolon here. Because this is put together, love suffers long and is kind, they are linked together. Let's suppose, for example, that a husband or a wife or someone over here causes suffering. Watch this. And this is the person who is the cause of the suffering here. Look at what the scripture says. Love suffers long with what this person did. And look at this. And is kind back to this one who is the cause of the suffering. Oh, I want you to grasp this. You see, marriage should be about love. And few people recognize that love is about suffering. And yet the very first attribute about love that it gives to us in the famous love chapter, quoted at almost every wedding ceremony, is the fact that love suffers long and is kind back to the one who's the cause of the suffering. So look at this now. The first attribute of love is suffering. And suffering is also the first instruction to wives. And in addition, it's the first instruction to husbands. Now, you might be asking now, just where in the Bible are these two instructions? One for the wife to suffer and the other one for the husband to suffer. So, I want you to see them. And these are found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 7. Now, verse 1 says this, look at it. Likewise, ye wives, and look at this one, likewise, ye husbands. Now, wherever we see the word likewise, we must look at what went before that in order to understand what this is like. You see, likewise means in the same manner. So something is occurring before these two verses, and then it says, comes along and it says, likewise, ye wives, and likewise, ye husbands. So what we want to see is, what does it say before this likewise phrases? Here it is. For this is thankworthy. Look at it. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Okay, look at this now. For what glory is it when you are buffeted or knocked around for your faults if you take it patiently? But if you do well and you suffer for doing well and then you take it patiently, look at this is acceptable with God. Now watch this next phrase. For even hereunto were you called. Did you know you were called to suffer? Look at this. Because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Look at this. That you and I should follow in his steps. What steps? The steps of suffering. And how did he suffer? Look at this next verse. Who did no sin, no guile, no bitterness was found in his mouth. Look at this. Who, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. That is, when he was mocked, he didn't mock back. And when he was condemned, he didn't condemn back. And when he was put down, he didn't send back another put down. In fact, when he suffered, look at this, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously. Now, watch it, because just two verses later, guess what starts showing up? Likewise, ye wives. Likewise, ye husband. The wife and the husband are both instructed by God to learn to suffer properly. It's an important part of marriage. And like I've already mentioned, I don't want you to miss this, that the suffering from doing what's right is a lot less than the suffering that comes from doing what's wrong. And you might be saying, well, this is a good reason for me not to get married. Well, that could be true. You might as well know that marriage means suffering. Talk to anyone who's married, they know it. Talk to anyone who knows love and they know about suffering. Because you see, if we're not suffering, we are not loving, because love suffers long periods of time and is still kind back to those that are the cause of the suffering. And this is the kind of suffering that of which marriage is to be composed. Now, there is a difference, however, between the wife's suffering and the husband's suffering. So let's look at these scriptures specifically. Likewise, ye wives, okay, suffering, this word likewise is linked, remember, back to the verses before about suffering. Suffer, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. This is the way a wife suffers. It is a suffering thing to be under authority and not in authority. She has to stay under the authority of her husband. In fact, let's review real quickly our authority principle and the structure. Remember this diagram? And so we have God, and he always works down through authorities to those who are under authority. In this case, we're talking about the authority, however, being the husband, authorized by God, and then he's in authority over his wife. Now watch this. Because there is some suffering that goes with being under authority. Likewise, you wives suffer being under authority. Because, you see, what the temptation is, watch here, is that if she gets out from under authority, she gets out from protection, and she becomes subject to Satan's realm, because God's kingdom works through authority structures. Now, that means that there are some wrong responses to opportunities to suffer for a wife. For example, number one, she may be tempted to disobey the authority and instead of suffering, or to be contentious, in fact, to contend with the authority. In fact, you know the scripture about that, that it's better to be in a wilderness than to be in a big house with a contentious woman. In fact, Proverbs says a contentious woman is like the constant dripping of a tap. And then she might be tempted to rebel or to usurp authority and just try to override her husband or divorce. You see, suffering is God's answer to division, divorce, and arguing and bickering. Suffering is a very practical thing to learn how to do. Now, a husband's suffering is a little different. Here it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. I guess it's partly according to her knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. But this is a different kind of suffering. Because here's the authority, and he has to suffer with someone who is constantly bringing his opinions to him that are different than his. This is a good thing to suffer. Because often, a man will suffer, especially when he finds out that the opinion his wife gave him was better than his, or was the right one after all. And so it's important that a man learn to suffer in a marriage. Otherwise, there'll be wrong responses to opportunities for suffering. For example, a man may condemn his wife, or be dishonoring, put her down, or be manipulative and coercive with her, or he may withdraw, go into a sulk, start a cold war, or divorce. All of these are wrong responses and opposing to God's answer, which is to suffer. Now, if suffering is so important, and it must be, because God gave the instruction to both husband and wife, then we must learn how to suffer. So that's our subject. Grab your pencil, write these down. Here are the steps to learning how to suffer. Number one, we must know the purposes of suffering. There are many benefits to suffering. In fact, in another teaching, we spend a whole 30 minutes or so on the benefits and the purposes of suffering. Secondly, we must learn, if we're going to learn to suffer, we must learn to suffer when we do right. We must learn to suffer wrongfully. Look at the scripture. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffer wrongfully. Now, this does not mean suffer for doing wrong, but suffering for when you've done right, wrongfully. You shouldn't be suffering because you did what's right. This is an important part of learning to suffer. Not suffering for what we do wrong, but learning to do right, and even when we suffer for doing right, that's a proper kind of suffering. Notice in the scripture, by the way, that our accountability is to God. Look at this. If a man for conscience toward God endures the grief and suffers wrongfully. Oh, the power. Have we time to speak of the power of responding to God in every situation and not to other people? The scripture goes on to say, for what glory is it if you are knocked about for your faults? You take it patiently. Now watch this. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And so, you see, this is the third aspect of learning to suffer. Suffer patiently. And then fourthly, we must learn to suffer as Christ. He is our example of suffering. Look at the scripture. For hereunto, this is to suffering, you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you and I should follow in his steps. So we get to suffer the way Christ suffered. So if you want to know how to suffer when your husband says or does thus and so, or your wife says or does thus and so, all we do is consult with how did Christ handle those same kind of situations, and we suffer the way he suffered. Number five, we learn to suffer without bitter reactions. Watch this. Who did no sin, no bitterness was found in his mouth. Now watch this. And when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. When he was mocked, he didn't mock back. When he was put down, he didn't put down back, give another put down back to the person. Look at this. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten. When he suffered, he didn't threaten the other person. You see, that would be a wrong response. That wouldn't be suffering at all. Suffering means not having bitter reactions. And then, sixthly, we commit our mind and our emotions to God. Look at the scripture. We already covered almost all of this, except this last phrase. But when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Committing your soul, the keeping of yourself, turn yourself over to God, because God is going to look after you. So stop worrying. God is going to judge those who treat you wrongfully. So stop retaliating in any way whatsoever. Let the payback come from God. Commit your mind and your emotions. Trust. Realize that God, listen to him. I will repay, saith the Lord, because vengeance is mine. You don't have to do something back. You can commit yourself like Jesus did unto him who judges righteously. And then learning to suffer means learning to be happy when you are suffering. Look at this scripture. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. I had a question asked to me. I think it was from the Lord in quiet time some weeks ago. David, if you had to choose between being happy or doing what's right, which would you choose? Would you choose to be happy or would you choose to do what's right? You know, it's been my experience that Scripture presents many paradoxes. Whoever tries to save his life loses it. Whoever loses it for his sake will find it. There are a lot of paradoxes. If a person chooses happiness instead of doing what's right, he will lose his happiness. But if instead of choosing to be happy, he chooses consistently to do what's right, guess what? He gets his happiness. You see, you can be happy when you're suffering because you have this inborn satisfaction of knowing you're doing what is right, suffering for righteousness' sake. And then, to learn how to suffer, we must learn to suffer without fear. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror. Don't be afraid of what people will do to you. And then, suffering means to suffer without being troubled. Look at the next part of this verse. Neither be troubled. You can handle whatever suffering is coming your way for doing right. And then, to learn how to suffer, we must learn in times of suffering to use the suffering as a time to draw close to Christ in that suffering. Draw close. Look at the scripture says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set yourself apart during times of suffering to be with him. Be close to Christ in your suffering. And then, suffer until you are given a chance to speak with the right attitudes. Look at the scripture. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now look at this. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that's causing you suffering who asks you the reason of the hope that is within you. And do it. Look at it. Here's the attitude: with meekness and in fear. Don't be concerned about the length of your suffering. Suffering and suffering properly is a good response instead of bitter reactions. We just suffer stuff. You know, even raising children causes suffering. We don't mind suffering for our children. And so God wants husbands and wives to learn to suffer because the value in one another is worth the tolerance, the suffering. We are to suffer until we get a chance to properly speak in meekness, under God's control, and with fear, not cocky, not smart alecky. See, suffering is a way of being humbled until ready to give the right answer in the right spirit. Suffer until you're ready to give, you're given a chance to speak and to give an answer in the right attitude. And then number 12. During suffering, keep a good conscience. Look at the scripture. Having a good conscience. Whereas those who speak evil of you as evildoers, look at this, they will be ashamed that falsely accuse your good converse, way of life, in Christ. Conversation isn't referring to talking, it's your way of life. Now watch it. For next verse, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer. Look at this. Suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Watch this now. Somebody who didn't do anything wrong for those who did wrong. And you get to suffer the same way. That's what this suffering is about. Suffering when you did right for those who did wrong. Now watch this, that Christ did this that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us, that he might get a result. And so that's what we need to understand too, is that in having a good conscience and suffering the right way, we can have results. And then number 13, learn to suffer without being ashamed. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Don't suffer because of these things. My wife says, yet if a man suffer as a Christian for being Christ-like, then look at this, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God for this, on this behalf. Wow, I get to suffer like Christ suffered, being right, even though somebody else is wrong. In fact, I'm willing to suffer for those who are wrong because I want to suffer the way Christ taught me to suffer. And I suffer without shame in this. And then 14. Suffer knowing that the benefits of suffering are really worthwhile. Look at this scripture. Paul said, for I reckon, look at this, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The benefits of suffering are worthwhile. That's why Peter came along and said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Marriage requires learning to suffer. It's what makes a husband and a wife able to get along, so that the stuff that the wife does doesn't get to the husband because he just suffers it. And the stuff that the husband does doesn't get to the wife because she just suffers it. Because love is like that. It not only suffers, but it suffers long. And is kind back to the one who is the cause of the suffering. Preparation for marriage requires that we learn to suffer. So, how do you suffer? How can we learn to suffer? Number one, understand the purposes of suffering. Number two, learn to suffer wrongfully. Learn to suffer patiently. Learn to suffer like Christ suffered. Learn to suffer without bitter reactions. Learn to commit your mind and your emotions to God during times of suffering. and learn to be happy while you're suffering. Suffer without fear. Suffer without being troubled. Draw close to Christ in your suffering. Suffer until you're given a chance to answer, to explain. Keep a good conscience while you're suffering. Suffer without shame. And know that the benefits of suffering are worthwhile. Now, if you don't think that marriage involves suffering, I want you to look at this scripture. This verse is about marriage. Look at this. If thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. This verse is about marriage. But I want you to see the last line. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble. Look at this. Shall have trouble in the flesh. Who are the such? Those that marry. Marriage is a guarantee for opportunities for both the wife and the husband to suffer. But if they learn to suffer, if each of us will learn to suffer, then in this suffering, marriage will work. That's why it's the first instruction to wives, the first instruction to husbands. Because marriage is a binding, non-dissolvable relationship. You see, when two people come together, there's bound to be differences. But if we learn to suffer properly, suffering will be the alternative to division, to divorce, and to bickering, and battles, and bitterness, and hatred, and violence even. Suffering the right way, God's way, is the first instruction that God gives to wives and husbands that will guarantee the success of their marriage.